Buck up, buttercup. I had a dream. Oh man, I had the fucking weirdest dream last night where I don't know if I was working for Safeway or if I was working for UFCW. But either way, I had to go into like these King Supers and I had to sabotage them. And I go into one and it's like all these people I used to work with back in Safeway were working at this King's. Like weird shit happened. And then I left that King's after the news vans pulled up and I went to the next King's and the store director for that King Supers was Jim Ross, good old JR. And he's sitting out front, kind of like reclined on like one of like the motorized carts, mm-hmm. you know, that for people with disabilities or the elderly to get around on.
Was he sampling barbecue sauce?
No, he was just sprawled out there. And he's just like, and me and him knew each other. We knew each other because we worked together in the grocery industry and wrestling. And I was talking to him about how the strike affected his, like, hey, how did the strike affect you guys? And, you know, fucking like grocery shop talk bullshit, right? And then all of a sudden he's just like, well, hey, you want to go get a drink? And I'm like, yeah, I'll go. Let's go get a drink. And we get into like this Cadillac. And for some reason, the Cadillac, it's an electric Cadillac with all the horseshit Tesla things in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like self-driving and what do they call it? Oh, sicko mode or whatever it is, where you hit like a button, it goes like 0 to 60. And anyway, so we get in the car and JR, he's just like, oh, here, and let me show you this, the self-driving. And we go onto this like four lane highway. And he flips it around. We do a 180. He puts it in reverse. And then he hits the self-driving and we're self-driving backwards down the road. And then he hits another button and we go into like sicko mode. So we're like going like 80 miles an hour and we're hitting a bunch of shit, like road cones, signs, fucking, we're just barely missing other cars, shit like that. And he's telling me about how him and MJF drink. Oh, some kind of scotch the night before. And then I woke up.
That's pretty neat.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes.
Welcome to It's All Pro Wrestling Podcast. My name is Bill.
And my name is Doug.
And we are two men in our 30s talking about professional wrestling. One of us is wearing an AEW sweatshirt from the AEW shop. The other one is wearing a CU sweatshirt that Coach Sonny Lubick of the CSU Rams scoffed at and demeaned at one point. Doug?
Yes, Bill.
How was your week?
It was good, Bill. I found me some more AEW figures, just been working, watching some good old wrestling. What about you, Bill?
Week was all right. Watch the big game.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the big game.
It's yeah. Been a weird week. Adrian Peterson got arrested for domestic violence on an airplane, and Alvin Kamara also beat the shit out of someone. But the NFL's mm-hmm. fine. I didn't really do a whole lot other than that. It snowed, like it does every Wednesday now. We're on clockwork.
Right. Yeah, we got a little up here. Not bad.
Not bad. So Doug, you said you got some wrestling figures. Let's go into figure talk with Doug.
Oh, yeah. So I already had one Sting that you bought me, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you got it at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe that is the Walmart exclusive Sting figure.
Oh, really?
I found the other one which I believe is in the trench coat.
Yeah, you said
where are you sitting?
A tweet picture.
Yeah. So this one, he has a bat, but it's at his side, and he has the trench coat.
Yeah, it's a classic Sting.
Yeah.
Because the one I found was the one that's he's half makeup with Darby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's got the cool Darby paint. And I think that one's the Walmart exclusive. So they came out with two variations of Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Just because money, Bill. Money.
Money. You know, someone was stashing that one that I found for you.
Were they?
But well, they had to have, because it was up on the very top shelf. Like it wasn't racked. It was on like their back stock, and it was underneath everything else, and it was kind of hidden. And I used my 6'3", 250 bitch frame.
And you found it.
Let me see what's up there. And I grabbed them and brought them down, and my retail knowledge and my height.
Yeah.
That's how I got you the Walmart exclusive. Fuck you, Stan Kroenke.
Then I got a couple awesome two packs from my awesome wife for Valentine's Day. So they don't sell those in stores. You have to buy them from, I think they're like Ringside exclusives. She bought them off of just Amazon.
Nice. Yeah, I saw, what was it, Young Bucks?
No, so one is the tag team. One was the tag team pack, and it was Hangman and Kenny when they were tag team champions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's got them with the belts.
That's cool. Why is Hangman in the Long Boys, though? Ugh.
I don't know.
Because he was wearing the Long Boys like halfway through. He started out with his Short Boys. Anyway.
And then the other is a Rivals pack, which I thought was kind of weird. It's Moxley and Darby Allin.
That is kind of weird. Because they wrestled, but it was kind of like a, hey, kid, come under my wing kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah, it wasn't. And there's a lot more ones I can think of that could be in a feud, like a rival pack.
No.
But I think they're also both individually like big sellers, so.
Yeah.
Throw them together. The only other one, I went back to the other Walmart and went to the clearance section and found their last clearance Cody.
Is that supposed to be a segue?
$13. A segue. Into what, Bill? What did we segue into?
Are you wearing... What? Oh, God, you have that fucking shirt? Well, look at you. You're all coming up with your own little bits now. So Doug got rid of his AEWshop.com sweatshirt, and he put on his, or he had it on, his Cody Throne, God damn it, Throne Breaker shirt, probably the second worst Cody shirt ever made from the AEW.
Do I have the first worst?
No, I think the worst one was Daddy Eats First. Did you ever remember that one? It's fucking horrible. Like, it was one of those I was thinking about going and buying it because it's a bad one. I'll find it and send it over to you. It's the worst fucking shirt, and it just says huge fucking letters like Daddy Eats First, and like it's not good.
It's weird.
Yeah, but the Throne Breaker, god damn it, Doug. So where did you get the Throne Breaker shirt, Doug?
I think this was another one of my AEW mystery packs.
Okay.
Mystery shirts. $9.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, I wouldn't personally buy it, but I guess it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good undershirt. I mean, you could,
right?
You could, you know, gig it up and turn it into like a workout shirt if you wanted to or something like that.
Right.
But I mean, the graphic on it's not bad. It really isn't. It's just
the whole premise is pretty good, horrible.
Yeah. The whole premise on it's just fucking dumb. So Doug, why are you wearing the county sheriff?
Well, Bill, if you probably heard a rumor or two that one Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes are no longer affiliated with AEW.
But what does that mean for Rhodes to the Top and the Big Show airing out directly after Dynamite on TBS, Doug?
It means more viewers for Rhodes to the Top, Bill. Because now, since they're going to WWE, more people are going to want to turn in to see what happened between him and Tony Khan. Why is he no longer there, Bill?
Why?
People are going to want to tune in and see that.
Do you want my opinion why he's no longer there?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's what's been reported. Shit, who is it? SAP or no, is that SI article that came out, that Sports Illustrated article that said, you know, he got a little butthurt because Khan took away the booking responsibilities. It sounds like from all the EVPs, it wasn't just him. So that would be Kenny and the Bucks included. And then he was asking for top tier money. He was asking for whatever CM Punk got, whatever Danielson got, whatever
Moxley, Jericho.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume Kenny's probably in that conversation. Yeah. He's asking for essentially the WWE, you know, headliner, you know, detractors or the guys who left WWE that were big names. And he got butthurt, I think.
Right.
And butthurt's a bad word. It's not what I mean, but he thought he had some leverage. And in all honesty, he didn't. And yeah, he's obviously taking a route that makes him go to WWE, and good luck to him. You know?
Yeah.
That's all I got, you know? What are you thinking?
At first, I had a bunch of crazy ideas. This work, this and that. He's going to come back for a storyline. He's going to finish his heel turn. But now I think it's legitimate. Like, and I agree. Everything I've read has basically been what you said. I think a lot of it has to do with back in September when TK took away the bookings for the EVPs. So I think the biggest thing for him is he wants to be a part of the booking. He wants to be a part of creating a show, creating the matches, being, you know, doing a lot of stuff.
Why the fuck is he going to WWE? The worst place to try to get your creative input out. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, I get why he left to an extent. Like, if he's no longer able to do his vision that he was doing in the first place, and maybe the biggest appeal of starting your own company, if he's no longer able to do that anymore. But I don't get the end game going to WWE if that's what happens. I don't see why he's going.
Yeah, no idea. Like,
besides, he's probably going to get a lot of money.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you get $3 million to a year for, you know, hopefully your entire contract. Nah. You know, like, no one's going to say no to that. I mean, I don't know what the number is or what the number he was making in AEW, but like, it's really interesting what goes through his mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a hell of a talent, even though, you know, I've shed on three-star Cody.
Right.
But he's had some great memorable things. I was really all about him, even when he was in, when he was Stardust, which is like, you know, the bottom point of his career. I loved him as Stardust.
Likewise.
I think he had talent. I think he was confused. I think he had too much going on in AEW, because you had, you know, the two television shows that he's in. You have a child along the way. You have also EVP things. You have a wrestling school. Like, I think you got,
you're trying to wrestle.
You're trying to wrestle. You're trying to create shows. You're trying to do all this shit. And it eventually just bogged him down. So maybe pulling back, having Vince tell him that he's going to lose to fucking Madcap Moss at, you know, SummerSlam next, you know, this upcoming year, is going to be good for him. You know, I thought he would do something, hopefully, that was along the lines of Cardona or what he did before, where he's just, I'm going to fucking go out and be the best goddamn wrestler out there. And Ring of Honor starts back up in April, and motherfucker, I'll be the Ring of Honor champion and do all these indie stuff and take it from there. But I don't know. It's fucking weird.
It's hard to put a finger on exactly why, or I thought it was a work, the whole like, oh, my contract has expired. Well, yeah, because you got COVID, you didn't go sign your contract because you were not in the office. And then it just kind of dragged on. And now it's like, oh shit, maybe, I guess there was something more to it.
And that weird promo that he had at the very, like, his last promo was schizophrenic. Well, we talked about it. Schizophrenic. It was, it was shooting, but it wasn't shooting. It was like, didn't make any sense. The previous week before, they had Brandy get in an angle that was horrible, or that had been, that was working up to being horrible with Paige VanZant. Now we have nothing there. You don't have anything going on with them. Brandy herself, she's not even going to be signed by WWE, according to all the rumors and dirt sheet bullshit. But like, so what the fuck does she do? I mean, I'm sure they can easily manage a single income on Cody making the money he's making and the money that they made before, and she can raise their daughter, and that's fine and good if that's what they choose. But like,
but to me, insane. She wants to wrestle. Like,
she wants to prove herself. Yeah,
she wants to prove herself, and I don't think she was given the opportunity in AEW, or was going to get the opportunity that she wanted.
He had a couple, she had a couple instances though, because she had that, what was it called? God, what was it called? Where she had that little faction. I can't, I don't the remember Nightmare what Collective? Was that what it was?
I think so. Who was she controlling? Oh,
Awesome Kong.
Awesome Kong. Yeah, like early on, she had matches, she had a big storyline. The weird Luther thing. But like a lot in roads to the top, like she was, I think before she even had the baby, or right after she had the baby, she was right away, I'm gonna wrestle, get, you know, month or two, I'm back in the ring, I'm back to training, this is what I want to do. Which, yeah, good for you. That's awesome. But I just don't think, I think she wanted to be right in the thick of storylines on AEW, or, you know, on TV. And I don't think she was ready for it, honestly.
She would, they, how they introduced Jade Cargill, though, was the whole thing with Shaq, right? That was supposed to be Brandy versus Jade. But then they found out Brandy was pregnant. So then they changed it over to Red Velvet instead of Brandy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it was all incredibly weird. So we got fucking Cody. Oh shit, Doug. we never even brought up the big news that we said that we might have on this episode, last episode. And then
the real biggest story.
The real biggest story. And I got the information right as I sent off the podcast last week that we are now a part of the What a Maneuver family, Doug and I, and It's All Pro Wrestling. Got a store up with What a Maneuver. If you're not too familiar with them, What a Maneuver is a apparel company, specializing with wrestlers, promotions, podcasts such as ours, also bands, everything like that. They model themselves pretty close to another group you might know as Pro Wrestling Tees. Mm-hmm. But without some of these issues that some perceive with Pro Wrestling Tees. We're really happy to be with them. I've been working with them for the last couple of weeks as far as certain things are concerned, the designs and everything like that. And I couldn't be happier with just working with them. Really seems like a really good bunch of folk, and we're really happy to be with them. And I created a What a Maneuver specific design that you won't find anywhere else other than with them. So give it a look. You'll find the link in the show descriptions, link tree, all that good stuff that we have. But yeah, we're really excited to be with What a Maneuver.
Yeah, definitely a cool site. We got two awesome logos over there. Go check it out if you'd like at, like Bill said, whatamaneuver.net, and then you can search for us. Again, more and more wrestlers start to come over there. It looks like I've kind of been searching to their sites. They got a lot of cool podcasts. They've got the group that Marty and Sarah like a lot, the Fully Posable Boys. That figure group.
They're
fully
over there.
Posable, yeah. Figure. Yeah, they got a store over there.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw they're over there. Speedball
Mike Bailey's over there. Yep. Big Swole's over there. Veda Scott's over there. A handful of GCW folk are over there.
One of the people we're going to see at the next Lucha Libre and Laughs that's coming from
Shasta McKenzie.
You said, yes, I believe she's over there.
Oh, is she? Oh, cool. I didn't pick up on that. That's cool. Check it out. If you don't want to buy our stupid stuff, buy someone else's stupid stuff, because they seem to know what they're doing over there. That's the big news. So Doug, What else are we talking about? So Cody died. He's going to be in Saudi Arabia on Saturday.
Cause you think
he's all vaccinated up, I'm sure. I don't know. But Doug, what else is happening in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, we got the Elimination Chamber, Bill.
We do have the Elimination Chamber.
Are they doing it Saturday?
Yeah, it's Saturday.
They usually do weird times or like a weird day for their Saudi shows, like a Friday morning or something.
Yeah.
I think this one's Saturday.
Yeah, it's the 19th. But we're not going to, we could go into it real quick, but oh shit, Doug, you know what? Fuck, I just remembered, dude. We actually have a sponsor. Get this. What's the time on this?
10:35.
Okay. No, not that time. God damn it. I know it's for editing purposes, so I can let them know to listen.
Okay.
Anyway.
Half hour in.
It's something that like I've been kind of working a little behind the scenes on it. Sorry, I didn't think this was going to come through, honestly.
Okay.
But I got to get this in.
That you're working me.
No. Why would I be working you? Like I have the copy of what they want me to say right here. Like they gave me an official printout right here.
Okay.
All right. So, I should have sent this to you. I'm sorry. So I'm just going to read and then I'm going to point to you when you have to do your thing, and just, it's just yes. And right. I mean, it's the same shit, right?
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So, it's weird, but they came to us. So,
okay.
Because apparently we hit the demographic right, even though our listenership is nobody. So it's Cutes Puppies Pillows is the brand. Okay.
Okay.
It's like this one of these little upstarts.
Yeah.
It's like a Casper mattress type thing or some shit. All right. So are you good?
I'm down.
Okay. Okay. So hold on. I gotta get this right. I haven't read copy off of like a piece of paper in forever. All right. Wait, what's the time? So it's like 30 minutes in, we'll call it. I don't fucking, God yeah, damn it. Yeah. All right. Doug, I cannot tell you how happy I am that a truly revolutionary company post. Okay, we'll put that in post. Okay, let me try that again. Take two. I cannot tell you how, God damn it, Doug. All right, Doug, I cannot tell you how happy I am.
35 minutes.
Fucking Doug, I'm trying to do this. Like, you're not the one that fucking edits this. I have to fucking edit it. So when I point to you, that's when you fucking talk. You understand?
Got it.
All right. Doug, I cannot tell you how happy I am that a truly revolutionary company like Cutes Puppies Pillows has sponsored this episode of It's All Pro Wrestling.
I'm really excited too, bro. Let's hear a little more about it.
Well, first of all, Doug, you can find their site through their social medias. Remember, it's Cutes Puppies Pillows. That's all Z's at the end. Use the code PRO1W. That's PRO1W to get free shipping off your first order.
The first order, Bill?
Yeah, free shipping, Doug.
Free shipping?
Thank you. Yes, free shipping.
Free shipping? That's amazing.
Yes, exactly, Doug. Good job. All right. So even though Cutes Puppies Pillows has had their problems in the past, particularly in how they break into and steal family pets from homes, mistreat those stolen pets, and then make pillows out of the malnourished hides like Buffalo Bill was doing in Silence of the Lambs. But this is with pillows and not skin suits. They swear to me and the international community that they're only kind of doing some of this now. Instead of stealing the animals from homes, they run and operate puppy, kitten, and bunny mills similar to those found here in the United States.
Okay. Okay. Free shipping?
Free shipping. Yes, that's right, Doug. Free shipping. They said that with their sponsorship of our episode, this episode that you're listening right now here, viewer, listener. That's weird that they did that, viewer, listener. I'll edit that in post. That they can revolutionize the way they will operate and do business in the future.
How are they going to do this, Bill?
Well, I don't know. But they also mentioned that they have a surplus of dark money that all... No, Doug, no. But they mentioned that they have a surplus of dark money that needs to be laundered or something like that, and that we're helping them do that. So I can say that their healthy monetary investment into the IAPW universe, making up 1/5 of total projected revenue come the end of this fiscal year, makes it known that they are going to maybe do something good and revolutionize the pet puppy business, pillow business. Remember, Cutes Puppies Pillows, wow. Offer code PRO1W at checkout for free shipping on your puppy,
free shipping?
Kitty. Yes. On your puppy, kitty, or bunny pillow.
Whew. That is awesome. Thanks. That, man. I'm so excited, Bill. I can't believe you didn't send me that over.
It must have been
last minute.
It happened about a couple hours ago in Jeddah time.
Okay. I've been waiting to get a sponsor. I mean, this is an awesome one.
Thanks
again to Pets Puppies
Cutes
and Pillows with puppies, 3 Z's. Cutes. How could I forget?
Yes. So anyway, I don't know how that relates to Elimination Chamber at all. And we're done with Elimination Chamber. Goodbye.
Cool. Real quick, let's yeah. step aside. Let's go back to last weekend in Chicago, where we had some Warrior Wrestling.
Okay, yeah. Which, how familiar are you with Warrior Wrestling, Doug?
Some. I've
okay.
I've seen the name a lot. I've seen the cards. I know. Are they primarily Chicago?
I really couldn't tell you. I have a feeling they're.
I think most of the stuff I think is Chicago. Yeah. I want to say I'm probably familiar. I had some friends from the past that live in Chicago and were big into the Chicago wrestling scene. And then probably, yes, from Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. I'm sure they mentioned it over there at some point.
Okay.
I would assume if they're talking about it, it'll be the next episode. The one that airs tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the card, I think I was busy that night, or I would have tried to get on and stream that card. I think it was available through Fight.
Yeah, I think almost all the Warriors are available through Fight. So, I mean, I think you get even back catalog.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like an awesome.
Yeah, the cards for Warrior has been insane. And I kind of thought they fell off the face of the earth because they had some really cool cards like in Fall. And then nothing. And then they had a show on Saturday. And what did you want to talk about in particular, Douglas?
Well, so I don't know if it was the headlining match, but I'm trying to remember.
The main event?
The main event. So was it Thunder Rosa versus Athena?
It was. From what I understand, yes.
Okay.
Ember Moon, yes.
Ember Moon, which that would have been an amazing match.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main point we wanted to talk about is sounds like there's a bunch of shit kings in the audience, Bill.
That definitely seemed like there was a bunch of shit kings in the audience.
Or at least one person in particular.
You know, the things that I was seeing, it was multiple. I mean, it was okay. It was probably one loud guy, and then people like, oh, well, if this motherfucker can say this, then I can say it too.
Right.
Yeah, apparently during the match, there was I don't know if it was just specifically during that match or if there was during another women's match earlier in the night, but there was catcalls, sexist bullshit, you know,
right.
Just absolute fucking garbage.
Yelling at her to pull off her weave or just.
Oh, yeah, there was some racist. There was definitely some racist shit. Concerning Athena, Thunder Rosa having no fucking part in it,
grabs the mic after the match
and pretty much just lays it out there, and good for her. Thunder Rosa, like her ascension that I've witnessed, because I didn't know anything about her until I saw her in NWA when NWA just started with Empower,
right?
And then obviously her work in AEW, her MMA work that I was kind of catching up on a little bit. She's fucking legit. And like, I think anyone would be lucky to have her on your card or have her in your locker room or anything. She's
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the more I see from her, the more I become a bigger and bigger fan. I think she's awesome. Like you said, awesome for the organization that she's with. You know, the locker room, the match, like it just seems her presence in general is just super awesome.
And she
fun to watch, awesome wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she can kick your fucking ass. Like yeah. She's trained MMA. Like
now I regret not going to that. There was an event probably 4 or 5 years ago at the Sundance. And I don't remember too much about it, except for it was advertised that Thunder Rosa and Killer Cross were going to be there.
Wait, did you say it was 4 or 5 years ago?
It was right before, it was when they were becoming big names on the independent scene. And it was before Killer Cross went to...
It's so fucking nuts.
Before he went to NXT, he may have been an Impact. I didn't really know anything about him except for... I didn't know anything about the two of them except for I was hearing the buzz of like, these two are up and coming indie stars. You know, they're going to be somewhere soon.
And then all of a sudden,
at the Sundance Saloon in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Doug, for those who don't know, there was going to be a
wrestling match.
Yeah, for those who don't know what the fucking Sundance is, lay out the Sundance, Doug.
It is a really weird country western bar.
Yep.
But like a big... It's a restaurant, but I've never been there to eat. I've been there. Have you?
Yeah, I took my dad there for a birthday once. We ate prime rib. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I think the big draw is during college, they had 18 and overnights, and it was like 50 cent Jack and Coke.
Quarter. Was quarter no,
double so jack and coke when, for 50 when cents we were
when we were going, it was they somehow finagled 18 and overnight and quarter beer nights, and then if you got hard alcohol, you got 50 cent drinks all at the same time when it's 18 and overnight. But it's your typical like country western. And it's much larger than a bar. It's its own venue. It has a stage, it has a dance club.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's two stories.
Bring in concerts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's Doug and I's experience with it is primarily through 25 cent beer night. Even though I think I only went that one time with you guys.
Really?
Like, I think it was like 2005 or so.
Mm.
And I wasn't DJing and I wasn't running poker nights. And, but it was one of those quarter beer night things. And it was all of us, like the guys and everything went out, and my sister went out with us, and she had a friend that was getting hit on all the time.
Okay.
Who actually had an interest in you at the time, but you were seeing someone also at the same time. They asked me to act as this girl's boyfriend, so she wouldn't get hit on anymore or like grinded up against by a bunch of gross fucking college guys, because she was just like 18, 19 years old. And so anyway, and then grandma asked me how I was so confident in dancing. And that's how I remember that night.
Was I there?
I thought you were there. I could have swore you were there, but maybe not. Maybe you were working.
You were cryptic with your sister's friend, so I don't remember who.
It was a girl that she met on Horseshoe Lake. I don't want to say her name was Jessie.
Yeah, no clue.
But she kind of liked you because you had that whole weird thing with girls where like girls find you charming. Or something. I don't know.
That was weird.
He's a catch.
I once puked in a brown paper bag in your sister's car in the Sundance parking lot. Because before quarter beer night, I decided it was a very wise decision to drink a bottle of Jaeger on my way there.
While you build it up.
Yeah. Ooh, and then you throw in a bunch of Jack and Cokes.
Ugh.
And maybe cigarettes. And I didn't smoke. That was like my first ever time having a cigarette. I can see
bombing smokes off my sister.
I remember being responsible for... We're talking about wrestling, so...
We're talking about wrestling. So anyway,
Sundance. Welcome back. All two of you were still there.
Two and a half.
Oh, yeah. So yes, Thunder Rosa and Killer Cross were at the Sundance, but it was like a weird situation where they like gave out the matches, but they didn't include those two people in the matches. They just said they will be there making an appearance.
That's fucking weird. I'm like,
are they just signing autographs? But
why the fuck would either one of them just pop in?
Oh, and I think it was that weird, like, we've talked about it for a while ago. There's that like weird company that runs out of like Arizona somewhere.
They run out of like Pima, not a Pima. They run out of like, is it Peoria, Arizona or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was a gimmick. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, but good on Thunder Rosa. Fuck everyone else.
Yeah, for sure.
Is doing that stupid shit. And fuck you, shit.
I like what she said. We'll put it in the description somewhere. There's a few videos out there. There's a Twitter link that's like 26 second clip of her basically in the ring after the match, just kind of telling it
like it is, bro.
Telling it how it is. Yeah.
All right, Dougley. Dynamite Rampage, go.
It was awesome seeing the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice
on
Rampage last week. The Young Bucks of the Jackson sort.
Every time you say Bucks, because my internet's real shitty, it's coming up Bucks.
The Young Bucks.
There we go.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was an awesome match. They both looked awesome, all four of them.
Trent is a heavyweight.
Yeah. He's looking big and beefy.
Fucking TK, our boy Tony Khan, has such a huge crush on Trent, and it's great. He really does. Yeah. He's so excited that Trent's back. Like, he's just going to create matches.
In
to just
all these big Trent matches.
Yep. We got Switchblade coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Rocky looked awesome.
It's Rocky.
Yeah. Which you have a lot more experience watching Rocky than I do, Rocky Romero.
Not a ton. I'm not like the biggest Rocky mark ever, but I knew I needed to watch him when I found out who he was and what, you know, his pedigree.
Right. For sure.
Well,
from what I've seen from him on his couple experiences on AEW, every time he's just blows me away, like, man, he's fucking good.
Yeah. Danielson doing Danielson things with Mox.
Yeah, that's
that was really good. That was super good.
I'm excited for so basically, who knows what the end result's going to be, whether they join or not, but we know they're going to have a match.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yep.
I love that line. Like, before I stand beside you in the ring, I got to bleed with you first.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, I'm all about Danielson Mox. I'm all about that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else, do we need to talk about the Gun Club?
Yeah.
The Gun Club is fucking good. they made the Gun Club made the most of that match. They really did. Like, that was, if you would have had me watch that match 3-4 years ago, I would have been a huge Gun Club, just like, these guys are what tag team wrestling's supposed to be. Put them up against FTR and American Alpha, and like, you know, like,
right.
And they came out all fucking Shawn Michaels, HBK'd out. Like, I mean,
like,
they really ran with it, and good for them.
Super HBK mannerisms, looks, like, everything about it just oozed HBK, but it was awesome.
That was such a better match than it should have been. It really was. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, yeah, I mean, overall Rampage, nice and solid. Roppongi and Bucks.
Yeah. I think this next Rampage is gonna be awesome as well. Stupid right now. I know for sure we got Trent and Jay White.
Trent and Switchblade, yeah.
We might have another Face of the Revolution match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Face of the Revolution, it's another Beef Boy match.
Is it Hobbs and Dante?
Dante, yeah.
Okay.
There's a possibility we might have three Beef Boys in the Face of the Revolution match because we got Keith Lee. Mm-hmm. We already got, mine's blanking.
Wardlow.
Wardlow, yes, thank you. We have Wardlow beat Caster. And then we could have Hobbs. I mean, we could just, like, it would be awesome if it's just a bunch of beef. Like, there's no high flying. It's just Beef Boy. It's just Beef Boy.
Just slamming letters around.
Or rolling around. Just they're all rolling around. All slapping each other's beef.
I mean, because you expect in a ladder match, a typical, well, in any company, I mean, you're going to throw in Sammy and Darby and Jeff Hardy to do something crazy. You're going to throw in, you know, your crazy high flyers.
Yeah, your stuntmen.
And then you might have one or two big guys to ram a ladder into someone.
Yeah. So I hate to say it, but I think Hobbs is going to lose. But it's not a knock on your brother. It's not a knock on your cousin.
I know.
It's just like, more how much I love fucking Hobbs. like
even 2 or 3 weeks, I've been like Dante all the way. But like these last couple weeks with that fur jacket and just he hasn't been talking, just sitting there with the snarl and sunglasses and
yeah, making the most of what you have. You have a fucking cool look and you're fucking jacked beyond belief. And he's good in the ring. He's good in the ring. Like.
Definitely.
But yeah, those three matches alone are fucking and well, because I said Cole versus 10.
Oh, yeah, that's a match. The other one I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I mean could be okay. I don't know. Fuck Adam Cole. Could
be.
Fuck Adam Cole. Anyway.
Okay. You started off on fuck Adam Cole, and then like after 1 week in AEW, you're like, wait, Adam Cole is really cool.
And now I'm back to fuck Adam Cole.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, like that Evil Uno match that we talked about fucking, I think it was like 17 weeks ago. It was last episode. But like it really burned me. And watching him like this run that he's doing right now, I'm souring on Adam Cole again.
I think they brought him in and it was kind of nostalgic and it was fun with the Bucks. And then I think somewhere along the line, whether it was him or TK, wanted to get that more serious cutthroat Adam Cole to come out. And so now he's got that. I got this new attitude, you know, I'm taking out everyone. I'm going to the top. I'm going to take the title off Hangman.
Yeah, the shit weasel boy. Adam Cole. Yeah.
I enjoyed the fun of the first few weeks with the Bucks and
yeah, like I love the Bucks stuff because it seems natural. It seems fun. Like, and you can still be a shit, but like this is I don't know. And this match is fuck it. I don't know.
Yeah. No.
But yeah. Anyway, Dynamite Doug.
Dynamite. It was excellent once again. The CM Punk segment was awesome. Gonna get a little dog collar match.
Mm-hmm.
With MJF.
Yep. Who could be the more Piper of the Pipers? Because essentially that's what all down to now.
When he started saying, if you want to be Piper in Portland. I instantly thought of the match, but I kept saying bull rope because it was like spacing out in my head. I was thinking him and Greg Piper and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah.
I knew it was dog collar, but I was saying, just kept screaming bull rope for some reason.
That makes sense. Because I think a lot of it is, well, first of all, the fucking chain matches are fucking way more dangerous than the fucking bull rope, as fucking Roddy Piper would have told you, because he fucking busted his fucking ear, went deaf, and got fucked up from that match. And that was in 83. To put everything in perspective.
I've almost picked that match for you a bunch of times.
Oh, really? But yeah, I mean, so that's going to be great. It's going to be a hell of a match. And you got your MJF versus Punk pay-per-view match, Doug.
Yep. It did. And I'm glad they're finally starting to put Revolution together.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I know there's such a gap, but it feels like, I know it's still not till, oh shit, it's like 2 weeks away now?
No.
It's March 6th.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It?
Why did I look at March 6th? I'm an idiot. March, I just started back.
March 6th. What's happening March 6th?
Tell me.
Where are you going to pull it up?
Oh, fuck. You're right, Doug.
Well, my God. I mean, for the longest time, it was like, oh, God, it's not till March. Or you're thinking, why aren't they setting up this for Revolution? But then it's like, oh, shit, because we have two more months till Revolution.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, it's 2 weeks. Wait, do we just have one match?
Technically three matches as of right now, because you have the Face of the Revolution ladder match, which right. We talked about. We have Lee, Keith Lee, and Wardlow in.
And then you're going to have a three-way tag team gauntlet match? You're going to have a three-way tag team match
yes.
for the titles, I believe. And in the next 2 weeks, they're going to have gauntlet matches to get those teams that are going up in
the last Revolution? Two teams. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm assuming one is Jurassic Express, and then they're picking two more teams to have a fatal, like a three-way.
Yep. And then I would assume that we have Hangman versus Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Sammy has to be wrestling someone. And so do
Andrade.
Oh yeah, they set that up.
Yeah,
which could be really, really amazing. And hopefully Andrade kills him.
Well, I hope so.
And then you have Britt versus Thunder Rosa, likely, right? And then
what, you would think so.
Jade versus someone.
I don't know who.
I don't either. Maybe Ty some
Conti.
Maybe. Yeah, and then we also have something with Mox and Danielson.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's right around the corner. That's nuts.
My guess is we're going to have the Young Bucks and Red Dragon as the other two entrants in that.
Likely. FTR should be somewhere in there, though.
You would think so. I bet FTR and Santana and Ortiz will be in one of those gauntlet matches, if not both.
Okay, we're done with Revolution.
Okay. Dynamite, Bill. We're Dynamite. Finishing up. So Danielson Lee Moriarty was a great match.
It was fantastic. It's exactly what it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Moriarty had a chance to shine. Danielson, it's a real piece of shit.
Real piece of shit.
Wardlow versus Max Caster. Good match.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hurt Max Caster at all. Made Wardlow look like Wardlow.
Yeah.
Inner Circle match. Santana Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
With our sweet boy Eddie Kingston making his return.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see some Eddie Kingston back.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot better match than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great match. I really did. I was expecting good out of Santana Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
Was not necessarily expecting as good of Jericho and Hager, but I thought both were good. Both were really good. I thought.
They both looked in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Hager's looking
The little thing on Twitter though is that Hager's in contract shape because his contract's expiring. I'm sure his contract's expiring very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Mercedes versus Thunder Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
That spider.
Spider German suplex?
It's apparently a thing, and I know it has to be a thing. It's definitely like a Joshi thing. That was fucking cool.
Yeah, I loved that. I thought it was a good match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, it was good. I like the storyline. And then what else happened, Doug? Oh, Sammy versus Darby.
Yeah.
Sammy sold his knee.
Yes, the last 15 seconds of the match, he decided to sell his knee. After getting worked over in a figure four, he gets up and sprints and does some like dive or something. But yeah, I applaud him for at least trying to sell the knee, you know, after he hits a big go to hell or whatever he wants to call it.
That was a good, that was a great go to hell, by the way. That was probably the best one I've
seen him do.
At least recently.
The other ones, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, that was good. And it makes you wonder how much of that was Darby. But
that's the first thing I thought of.
So
I mean I like the match because of how Darby started off the match.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that aspect from him too often, but I really like when you do. Like what he had with like CM Punk. Just that really awesome technical wrestling at the beginning of the match was enjoyable to watch.
All right, Doug. It's everyone's favorite time. The time where you and I both start saying, are we done yet?
Are we done yet, Bill?
No, Doug. Let's go into some homework.
Okay, Bill. What homework did you have this week, Bill? From me to you.
Oh, God.
That good? Or are you just so sleepy?
I didn't even write it down.
Okay.
It was Survivor Series 2002, the very first Elimination Chamber. It was in your favorite venue for any pay-per-view, Madison Square Garden, because you hate that entryway. And you have no sense of history.
It was a lot better during this one.
It was. So you had RVD, you had Triple H, you had Booker T, you had Kane, you had Chris Jericho, and you had HBK in a haircut that looks like it was for a second grader in the worst possible fucking attire you could ever wear. Doug, do you know how many times I watched this match?
Zero.
I watched it 4 times, Doug. Do you know how many times I fell asleep?
17.
4 times, Doug. I haven't finished this match.
Okay, that's fun. It started off interesting. I thought it was going to be good.
Yeah. RVD versus Triple H starting it out. I am a fan of Triple H's wrestling. I like how he runs a match. It makes sense to me. I like it. I always had this weird Killer Kowalski thing. And a lot of it had to do with Triple H because Triple H came from Killer Kowalski school.
Mm-hmm.
A Triple H match, late 90s, early 2000s, really makes sense to me. But that with RVD, it was fun. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
They had no idea what the fuck, and this is everyone across the board, no idea what the fuck to do with the actual Elimination Chamber itself. No one wanted to bump on those fucking steel grates on the outside, and I don't fucking blame them. The only person bumping on that, like truly bumping on that, was RVD, and that was
Triple
it.
H
The Triple H took like one, and then after that, he was like, no, I'm done.
They're bumping hard on it in the beginning, and then they're like, yeah, we're going to stay away from that because it sucks.
Yeah.
Everyone has to do it at least once, but then we're staying away from it.
Oh, no, I don't think Booker T, Jericho, or Kane definitely didn't. Fucking Kane sucked during this match. That was the worst Kane I've seen ever. He was horrible.
He wasn't strong. Fucking choke slam everyone.
Well, he didn't even look strong when he was doing it. Like, I don't know if everyone was sandbagging him or I don't know what the fuck was going on, but Booker T looked pretty good. Like, they all looked fine. I gave this match so many times. Literally four times. And I fell asleep every fucking time. And the only time I didn't do is I didn't stand up to watch the match. And I watched it in the middle of the day. I watched it in the morning. I watched it at night. I watched it at different times because I was thinking, well, maybe that's the thing. No, the damn thing put me to sleep. And maybe it just made me comfortable. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jericho was okay. The 5-star frog splash off the pod onto Triple H was a complete fuck up on everyone involved.
You couldn't even tell he was doing if you didn't say 5-star frog splash, I wouldn't even thought it just looked like a splash. Like he just, and then it was a weird exit for him right after that.
I think it was planned.
Okay.
I think he was supposed to come down hard on his knee no matter what and then hold up because Booker T's already set up for the missile drop kick and then to roll him out. I think that was just the easy way to get RVD out, but it doesn't fucking like no one knew how to utilize that contraption. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, the Elimination Chamber is easily by far my least favorite fucking gimmick that the WWE has ever fucking done. The plexiglass spot, the plexiglass spot always looks like shit. Wherever someone goes through the plexiglass or someone rips off the glass, it always looks like shit.
Mm-hmm.
The anticipation of who comes out it's nice because it's kind of Royal Rumble-y, but it's, I don't know. I hate it. I don't like that fucking match. And I have never seen a good Elimination Chamber. I'm sorry. Sorry. That's all right. I didn't like Shawn Michaels is in his poop brown fucking tights in his fucking second grade haircut.
Yeah. So when I was looking, I was trying to look up the beginning of Elimination Chamber. And then I saw top 10 Elimination Chambers. And it gave a list and it's like the best one, the best may just be the first one ever. So I'm like, okay, sounds good. Let me take a look at this.
Yeah.
It was okay. It didn't meet my, it didn't blow me out of the water. Like a number one,
like one match of something that's been around for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that match has been around for 20 or 19 years, but yeah. Like
it's crazy. Well, Bill, would you like to hear how I liked my homework match?
Yes. What was your homework match, Doug?
You took me to Lucha Libre and Laughs. And
I did at the Oriental Theater.
In the Denver, Colorado. Shit, I forgot the date.
That was April 2018.
Okay. It was a triple threat match for the Lucha Libre and Laughs championship belt. You had the champion Mike Seidel versus Anaya versus Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It was an excellent match.
You like
I really liked it. I was impressed by their camera work. What was that?
It was Norma. She woke up.
So I've watched other footage of theirs, and like it's usually like decent footage, but it's mostly stationary.
Hard cam, yeah.
Stationary. Just the one hard cam. But they had, you know, a bunch of different angles and getting nice, like some awesome close-ups. They had that, there's a camera on the side of the ring as well as up higher from, you know, center. So you got a bunch of like cool different angles that you don't get to see from, you know, being in the crowd. And God, Keith Lee is just so huge. Like we've seen he makes Anaya look small.
We apologize about this interruption. We here at Cutes Puppies Pillows would like to inform you that it's an all-professional wrestling podcast. I broke contract rules about the segment in which we have interrupted. We would like to remind you that you can go to Cutes Puppies Pillows on social medias. There you will find a revolution in Cutes Pillows technology. Be sure to watch WWE Elimination Chamber Saturday. Goodbye.